Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. And this is episode 11, focusing on crusading. What is a crusade and why do people join Richard's Third Crusade? So here we go. Now, the first thing to remember is this all takes place in and around Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in modern day Israel, but at the time of Richard's reign, or just before the time of Richard's reign, it had been controlled by Christian Europeans. And it had been controlled since Christian Europeans since 1099. So the best part of 100 years before Richard comes to the throne. So that's all he would have ever known. It was conquered in 1099 by Christian Franks during the First Crusade, when they took control of the city. They took it away from Muslims and slaughtered everyone in the streets. Famously, they said the streets ran red with blood. It's where we get that sort of saying from. So that had been the case since 1099. And as I said, Richard, that's all he would have ever known, that Jerusalem was held by Christian Europeans, and that was a great sense of pride to all Christians throughout Christendom. Christendom, of course, the name given to all the countries, that all the Christian countries in Europe, so places like France and England and places like that. Jerusalem, of course, is not just central to the Christian faith, but also central to Islam, and also central to Judaism as well. So it's the same place, the same city is absolutely central to three of the world's biggest religions. And of course, that is still the case today. Since it had been conquered by Christians in 1099, there had been a whole kingdom set up there, a kingdom by the name of Outremer. It even had its own Christian king. And as I mentioned before, that's all Richard would have ever known throughout his entire life, that Jerusalem was in Christian hands and run by a Christian king. Now that all changes not long before he comes to the throne in 1187, when Jerusalem is conquered by Muslim forces, including Syrians, Kurds, Egyptians, and they were all united under one cause by a very famous man who's commonly known as Saladin. Okay, now Saladin successfully takes back Jerusalem from the Christian Franks there, ousts the Christian king and conquers it and takes it back into Muslim hands. When he did, incidentally, he didn't kill the Christian occupants like they did to the Muslims when they took Jerusalem in 1099, but instead he lets all of the Christian occupants go, okay, to try and show how morally superior Islam is to Christianity. He did have some of the more sort of Christian religious extremists killed, people perhaps like the Knights Templar and people like that, but essentially he famously let everyone go. Saladin, of course, is a highly skilled military leader and is remembered as one of the world's greatest military strategists. It's actually a bit of a shame that he's not more of a focus on this course, but there it is. It is what it is. So we move on. So he's there, he's in the shadow, but it's more really the challenge he puts up for Richard really is the most important part of our course, because of course we focus on Richard and John rather than Saladin. So in 1187, Saladin conquers Jerusalem, takes it back, and news of this would quickly have spread throughout Europe. It would have caused shock and dismay, and Christian people would have been absolutely outraged to hear that their holy city had been taken. And that's how they saw it, their holy city. Now, in response to that, in 1187, Pope Gregory VIII calls for a brand new crusade, okay? A crusade to go back over and win back Jerusalem. It was the Third Crusade this would have been. He calls upon Christians from all over Europe to unite together and go and win Jerusalem back for Christianity. Okay, so other than the fact that they were Christian and the Pope himself was calling for Christians to go to Jerusalem, the question is, why do people go? Why do people specifically travel all that way to the Crusades, often to fight? And bearing in mind, of course, not just is it a long way, but in medieval times, it was a very treacherous journey. It was extremely dangerous to travel by boat halfway across the world. But that's what people did. Okay, so the rest of this podcast focuses on those reasons. Now, some of the textbooks and things like that sort of put this as the, or call this the four R's, which I suppose is a good way of remembering it. And they split this down into rewards, revenge, respect, and religion. And I suppose that is a good way of characterizing them, but you could characterize them in your own way. But if that helps you remember, then that's absolutely great. So the first reason people went was for rewards, financial rewards. Okay, successful soldiers were it was the done thing to not just rob the bodies of the people that you've killed, but also to sack and loot towns and villages and cities that you take over. That was part of the done thing in medieval times. And crusaders could get extremely rich as a direct result of that. So people went for the money. People went for the valuables, all right? Not just that, but if you were a baron or a noble that owed a lot of money to a Jewish money lender back in England, this was a great chance to escape your debts as well. You couldn't pay back your debt if you're halfway across the world fighting. So people took the cross. That means that they joined the crusade to either avoid paying taxes, to avoid paying debt, or to share in what we call the spoils of war, taking those, stealing off the people you've either killed or stealing from towns and cities that you've taken over and sacked. Don't forget as well that Richard had charged his people the Saladin tithe, his crusading tax, to raise money for this crusade. Now, one of the ways to get out paying that tax was to go on Richard's crusade and actually join it. So some people would have done it for that reason. The second R is revenge. People were shocked at the loss of Jerusalem. They were shocked that the Christian army could be defeated. They thought that God was on their side. They didn't understand how it could possibly happen. And priests possibly would have given sermons on a Sunday, in churches and villages all over England, sort of screaming, sort of propaganda and trying to increase the anger. They'd be lying about Saladin's forces and telling stories about how they pulled down the cross of a church and dragged it through the streets and defecated all over it. These were lies, all right? In fact, of course, Saladin let most people go, but your priests in England may have been saying that they kill people and murder people mercilessly, and just to sort of drive that hatred, so people would have wanted to go over to Jerusalem for revenge, and many people did indeed join the crusade for that reason. Also, respect. Respect, a great way to move up the feudal system was to prove your worth as a warrior. The more worthy you are to the king, or the more valuable you are to the king, the more likely is to reward you with titles and land and castles. Okay, that was the way to move up the feudal system. William Marshall is a great example. Yes, he was a knight. Yes, he was a noble, but very low down compared to where he ended up, which was Lord Protector of the Realm. And the reason he became so important was through his skill at arms, because he was such a formidable warrior and proved time and time again to Henry II, Richard, and to John, the three kings who he served, that he was extremely valuable and therefore won that respect and moved up through the feudal system and gained more financial rewards that way. The final reason, or the final R, if you like, is religious reasons. The importance of religion was everything to people in medieval times, including Richard himself. He was a devout Christian. He believed directly in heaven, hell, and purgatory, and that what you did on this earth whilst you were here directly affected the amount of time you spent in purgatory and whether you would end up for eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. And, he also believed that by going on crusade and conquering Jerusalem, that he would be given full indulgence. Full indulgence means a guaranteed pass to spend eternity in heaven, that all of his sins would be taken away and that he would be guaranteed a spot in heaven for all eternity. So what a great sort of motivator. If that's what you believe, if you are deeply religious, then that is a huge incentive, guys. Okay, that's what the Pope is promising you. And that is another reason why people went. Don't forget, it wasn't just Richard that went, of course. He took his army, but not just knights and barons either. Women went, peasants went as well. It was the ultimate pilgrimage, guys. The best way to get your sins forgiven is to go to Jerusalem. All right? Just a short one today, ladies and gentlemen. Next episode, I think we're going to focus on Richard's own personal reasons for going, and we may even start to think about what actually happened and hit the start of his journey. The next few episodes are going to concentrate mainly on Richard's Third Crusade and what actually happened and whether or not he was successful. I hope that's been useful to you. As always, keep working hard, folks. Best of luck in the summer. Keep using these podcasts. Keep revising hard. Believe me, it will pay off in the end. And yeah, we'll see you very soon. Take care.